Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
Okay. I know everybody's might be tight on time. You guys ready to get started?
Yes.
Okay.
Ready.
I don't think I should ask him if he's prepared. I feel like there's some irony in that question.
That's a good point. Yeah. Now, yes. See, that could be in the intro.
Yes.
That could be good. That's pretty good. I like
that's
that.
High five, folks.
That's right. Let's do this.
Welcome, everyone, to the Gravity Beard Podcast. We're recording today in Studio A. Thank you, as always, to our listeners. We appreciate your continued support. All right, here we are back for another captivating episode. Let's begin by introducing everyone. First is my co-pilot today. He's been on the show many times before, so often that I've offered to refer to you as my co-host, and you declined.
No, correct, because every time it's going to be my last time.
Okay, all right. Pretty soon you're going to follow through on that threat or promise.
Promise. Okay. It's a promise. Okay. It's something you've been wishing for a long time.
There is no question.
Time.
Okay. You've been described by our listening audience as a national treasure.
No.
Members of our listening audience have called you a national treasure.
No. Not members.
Member of our listening audience.
One, which I seriously doubt that.
Are you disputing?
Yes, I am.
Are you saying he's wrong?
I am disputing it heavily.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Well, Greg, I think you will at least agree on this. The one thing that we consistently do on Gravity Beard is we entertain, inform, and educate the listener.
That's true. I agree with you.
I think
on
we
that.
Do that pretty successfully and pretty consistently on the show.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks to our guest, today is no exception. So let's introduce them.
Yeah.
Okay. So our first guest is a husband. He's a father. He's a member of the local. He's a member of the local business community. Oh, but most importantly, he's a dedicated doomsday prepper. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes. This is a unique experience, you know. Getting to talk about something that is just a part of my life.
We're very interested in getting into that, and we will in just a moment. But that's not all. We have a second guest. She's a friend and coworker of ours, Greg.
Yes, and she's been on the podcast before.
Very recently.
Yes.
She's also a member of the local business community. She's Brandon's wife, and most importantly for her, she is not a doomsday prepper.
That's right. She is not.
Please welcome Megan.
Megan. Oh, the second time.
And we're gonna replace this really, low tech clapping with some other clapping later that'll sound much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Megan, how are you?
I'm good.
So thanks for being here.
Last time you didn't really like being on the podcast.
Yeah, well that's what I was gonna ask.
I don't really like attention, you know.
Are you as reluctant today as you were the last time you were here?
I would say so, yes.
Really? As reluctant? Really? Wow, because you were really reluctant last time.
I don't know. I'm just not very good at being on the spot.
Okay, well, we're going to put Brandon on the spot, and you're just going to jump in as you feel comfortable.
Sounds good.
Okay, good.
Brandon's good at being on the spot.
Just your everyday life.
Yeah, just everyday life. Right. You know, you're not really preparing. Right. You're just living life. That's what my point is. You know, this is just a mindset.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not something you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, so Megan, what I'd like for you to do is as Brandon is teaching us about prepping, we'd like to weave in kind of your perspective and experience on the whole thing. Would that be okay?
Sounds good.
Great. Okay. So, Brandon, when someone uses the term doomsday prepper, what do they mean?
Well, I think that people have got this negative connotation. Everybody gets, you know, everybody like, oh, you're a doomsday prepper. Like, why are you doing that? Do you want the world to end? And I always tell people, no. I mean, I love getting on my app and hitting favor and having people bring me, you know, gourmet food. And I love going to the grocery store and having 1,000 things to choose from.
Sure.
And if at the end of my life I die and nothing happens, I will be the happiest man. I have no desire to see the end of the U.S. or have some kind of natural catastrophe with millions or thousands of people are dying. And it just means that you're prepared for anything, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. We've been trying to get prepared for our entire human evolution, and some people are more prepared than the others, and I prefer to be the person that at the end of the day says, hey, if something did happen, I wasn't the guy sitting out there going, who's going to help me? I can help myself.
So it's born out of you wanting to be self-sufficient.
Yes, I'd say so. It's that, and you know, there's a lot of things in history. I was a big history person in high school and in college and stuff like that. And if one thing that history has taught me just from education is that history repeats itself. And to say that, you know, we're in the U.S. and, you know, nothing's ever going to happen because we've got so much technology and we've got everything like that that keeps us from ever falling is just a fallacy. I mean,
all right. Well, before we go any further, you and I need to talk online because you've pretty much convinced me I need to start prepping. And we need to.
Greg didn't have an opinion either way going into this, right. And now I think you're okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to reassess that at the end, but I think we know what direction you're going in.
Correct.
So how did you get involved in this?
You know, it really wasn't like it started off just being, hey, you know, I see a couple things here and there that worry me, and just kind of the social economic stuff that, you know, coming out of college. And. And it really wasn't, you know, in high school and stuff like that, I was a hunter and, you know, kind of grew up on a horse farm and stuff like that. So I kind of grew up in rural America, which probably makes you a little bit more, you know, you where you feel like you need to really prepare and take care of your own self because you're your own man. But then it really started after college when I started living by myself and stuff like that and realized, hey, you know, I've got no family here. I need to be able to take care of myself because there's no one. I mean, there's no one in my family here. So it's really where I was born.
So usually when you get into some sort of activity or hobby or something similar to this, you find yourself joining or being part of a community. So are you part of a prepper community that's out there?
No, I mean, like, it goes back to, like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't think that everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket tomorrow. I mean, it just started
but
off.
But it could.
It could.
Yeah.
It could.
Yeah.
But it really started off as just, hey, I need to get, you know, I need to get guns, I need to get food, and I need to get water. And then as you start going down that rabbit hole, well, you go, well, what if this? Well, what if that? Well, what if this? And next thing you know, it's like, well, you know, it starts off as something you're just preparing for, and next thing you know, you become a doomsday prepper and you're on a show.
and you're on a small podcast with little or no audience.
Yeah, it's okay.
So see how far you've come?
More like no.
Yes.
You've arrived. Okay, so would you agree that people outside the community consider preppers to be a little nuts?
Yes, there's no doubt. I Megan will tell people that we barely know, like our neighbor. They came over. They've never met us. She goes, he's a doomsday prepper. And I'm just like, oh, God. We don't even know these people. Yeah. Don't tell people I'm a doomsday prepper. One, because it's just kind of embarrassing because they're going to think I'm crazy. And number two is the people that are going to rob you first are going to be your neighbors. So now I'm going to kill these people.
So they just went to the top of Brandon's murder list. Is part of your prepping preparing a murder list?
Oh, it's not a murder list. It's just like, you know, the people that are most desperate are probably going to be people around you that haven't prepped at all. And so they're like, well, that guy's got water. That guy's got food. And he lives right over the fence.
And well, in her case, too, maybe she's just preparing them. Because, you know, you're building some bunker in the backyard for her to realize what's going on.
During our remodel, she completely killed my bunker.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
I know.
Very, no.
It's because it added like $1 million to her.
Wow. Would you have done it?
Yes. 100%. Oh, okay. 100%. Right, yeah. Right. It was substantial, though. It was. Okay. At the time, okay. We didn't have enough money to finish the house, but I was still at the bunker.
He would have skipped the entire rest of the project and just done the bunker. Hey,
we would have lived underground.
I know it's $1 million more, but let's cut back on the hardwoods and the bathroom in here. Let's just do carpet, and we can maybe do that.
Yeah, honey, you don't really need that closet.
Okay, so Megan, how long have you and Brandon known each other?
Let's see. We started dating in
2010,
and we've been married 5 years this month.
Yeah, April 13th.
Okay. And how long have you been into prepping?
Since I've been probably 24.
Okay, since
23,
so before
24.
Started dating.
It definitely got hyped, I mean, ramped up.
No, what got ramped up is money. I always had
so he could afford to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that makes sense
now.
My question was,
what was the conversation like when he introduced you to this interest of his?
There's no conversation. It's just that's the way he lives.
But at some point you discovered, hey, this is something that my boyfriend or my husband's into.
Yeah.
What was that experience? Just kind of getting up to speed on that.
Okay, so I think I really realized, like, he was really into prepping when he built me a bug out bag. And he was just really... Do you know what a bug out bag is? It's like...
Only because you've recently explained a little bit about it.
So a bug out bag is a bag that has all your essentials, like food, water, like a knife, maybe extra set of clothes, just anything you could need that if you had, were in a hurry, you can grab that bag and go and survive off of it. And
for how long?
72 hours.
Okay.
For the initial... But go ahead.
Okay. So when he was assembling this bug out bag, I was just like, he was just researching like everything.
What, and what point of your relationship was he doing the bug out bag?
Married, maybe?
We were married at that point.
So you were hiding it from her.
It wasn't until I started actively incorporating. So like I had freeze dried food and MREs, and I have
not that much though. I like you started ammo. Getting MREs for Christmas from my family. Like
I've actually never received an MRE for Christmas. I don't know about you.
I'm not either.
And he got solar panels one year.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, but it was, I mean, it like, was it when just, I incorporated that's all her.
When, I feel like it started when we got married. And that's, I guess that's when we started making more money.
So you're like, she's not leaving. So now I can let her in.
I felt like he, all, like something clicked. He's like, I got to protect her now. And then he like all of a sudden got me all this stuff. Oh, like, so it's a
protection thing.
That really was, once we got married, I was like, all right, I need to incorporate her. Because she was no
longer.
But
wouldn't she know what you're doing for yourself before that?
No, not really. I keep it nuts. They're all in closets and stuff like that. You know, it's just, it's not like it's like, oh my God, there's 4 years of survival food in my living room. I'm using it as a table.
I guess it like.
Not that per se, but.
My legs are actually wise food.
I guess you could say like, I started noticing a lot because ever since iPads came along, like we can surf the internet in bed. So every night. I'll look over and he's researching something about prepping and like
every night
pretty much. Okay. If not building or like a project, he's like right now he's building a table like for the ranch, and that's a whole nother subject. Why do we have a ranch to bug out to?
Okay. All right.
But you know, it goes back to just the basics of a bug out bag. Like if for instance, like if you had to leave right now, like what would you do?
What
would you guys grab? What is prepared in your guys' house? Each one of you.
I would go to your house.
Well, no, everyone says that. Don't come to my house
because he'll murder you.
I know.
Exactly.
I know.
There's a cutoff.
That's right. I will be murdered.
You're below the line.
Yeah.
If you had to leave right now, what are you grabbing? Just give me a list. See, the fact that
I think what you would do is really hastily watch
machete.
The Steve Martin movie, The Jerk, and whatever he was carrying, that's what you would try to carry.
Correct.
So like a lamp,
a rubber band,
and a poodle in one of those paddleball games.
Uh-huh.
And you're just in a bathrobe and you just head out into the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Hang on, because I actually do want to get into that, but I want to do it this way. So I'm assuming there's different levels of preparedness. In other words,
I'd need a pillow. Because
that's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
Because an obvious question to ask here is what is it that you're preparing for, or what kind of scenarios are we talking about?
So there's, well, as I said, when you go down the rabbit hole here and you start preparing for different things, one of which is going back to your scenario, I can survive for 72 hours. Okay, yeah. Most people can, right? The shelves on the grocery store will stay stocked for 3 days before they all run out.
If
there's a rush on the grocery stores, and also, like, there's no power. Like, so there's an EMP blast that knocks out everything.
Right. Sorry, what?
Electromagnetic pulse, okay?
And
the EMP will fry.
Yeah.
Will fry all electronics.
Anything that's electric.
And that can happen from a solar flare, a nuclear bomb. All that stuff that you do from a level standpoint is because, okay, if I need to leave my house right now, what would I grab and how quickly could I grab it, right? And that's if you need to move away from a situation. If you need to shelter in place, how long can you make it? So the real question is, the first thing is water. Like, you've limited yourself, right? So how much water do you have? How much water will your family need? You need at least 8 glasses of water a day.
I have about 24 ounces.
Right, exactly. You're going to need at least 100 fluid ounces a minimum to survive a day for an average man, right? That's roughly 8 cups of water, okay? And then,
so you like researched exactly how much it's going to take?
Yeah. And so if you have, yes, exactly. And okay. So if you have, you know, do you have how many ounces is 1 pound? That's an important thing to know. How many ounces is 1 pound?
I have no idea.
16.
16.
16. Yeah.
And I asked Google that the other day.
Yeah, it's yeah. It's important though, because every pound that you have to carry,
oh, that's true,
is 1 pound that you know extra, right?
Right.
So when you're talking about water, which is one of the heaviest things that you're going to be carrying, right? Mm-hmm. You can't bring gallons and gallons of water, right?
Right.
You're not going to be running out there and you've got a backpack full of 50 right. pounds of water. You
but
know?
My like, feather pillow is going to be light.
Your feather pillow will be light. Right.
So how many pounds are you prepared to carry? I guess.
So our bug out bags are around 50 pounds.
50 pounds.
I laugh because
which
is more than half of Megan's weight.
Yeah, right. No, which is actually not good. You don't want to carry more than half your weight. Like that's the reality of you want to carry right. about a third of your weight, and it's actually
so she's in trouble.
She's in trouble.
Brandon's in trouble too. We're all in trouble.
Brandon's
50 pounds
in trouble
is really
heavy. Because Brandon's is 100 pounds.
Yes.
So tell me what all is in that.
So, first off, what you got some water, and then you've got freeze-dried food, which is great because freeze-dried food is light and it stays good for 25 years, but it requires water to reconstitute.
Right.
It requires typically 8 ounces. And then you've got a
mixture. How much freeze-dried food?
In the backpack, you've got probably 3 days of that, and then you've got about a day or two of MREs, which MREs okay. are better because they don't have to be reconstituted with water. They're a little bit heavier, but you're also losing the water weight that you do with the freeze-dried food. But an MRE is ready to go right then, but it only lasts 5 years. So instead of a 25-year shelf life, you get a 5-year shelf life. So you've got this food
so
in there.
So how much total food do you have, like, for how many days?
It's like 3 to 5 in there.
Okay.
Right. Per bag. So the other thing you have in here is you got a watch. So if you've got some kind of stuff that doesn't allow your iPhone to connect anymore, right? You've got that. You've got walkie-talkies. The other thing that you'll have in there is you got your clothes. A change of clothing now. You've got a mixture of...
How much clothing do you have?
You've got typically one pair of pants that's like a tactile pair of pants, and it's just 3 pairs of underwear, 3 pairs of socks, and they're microfiber socks. They're not cotton. So that you can use that, and then you've got different tops. You've either got short sleeve shirt or a long sleeve shirt, and then you've got a beanie in there if it's cold. You've got a headlamp. You've got a normal flashlight,
right? Like a tactical flashlight type deal.
Yeah, but they're small, and then you've also got fire starting stuff. You've got
a flint type deal.
You've got flint and then a propane little like rocket stove.
Okay.
So you can heat and boil water.
Right.
You've got a water filtration system in there. You've got actual hard maps. So you're not be able to use your cell phone at all. So you've actually got maps of the city. So we've got detailed maps of just Dallas, Fort Worth that are there. And then I've got escape routes planned. There's 3 different routes. How you get out of the city.
Okay.
And then the other thing is that you're going to have medicine. So if you've got any kind of pills or anything like that you normally take, and then also you go get antibiotics. And so we've got antibiotics for all different things. So the other thing we've got in there, we've got guns that are already locked and loaded, ready, sitting in the bags and stuff like that, loaded.
Now you say us, so you've got yourself
and her
and Megan covered, but you also have a 1-year-old child.
Yeah, and so that goes back to, like, you know, we've got body armor for each one of us, and then we've also...
Is that because of the people?
Yes.
Okay.
So the initial going back to your...
And it's like made for... It's like custom made, basically,
for
body
her.
Arm.
Yeah, right? For her. Yeah. And then it's the same one that the CIA and the FBI have gone to.
And so do you have to keep replacing it for your child? Because obviously it grows really fast.
So he doesn't have body armor because he's not going to be encountering a threat that he's going to be able to handle at this point in his life. The one thing that we do have, though, is we've all got gas masks, and he's even got one. Israeli makes one for, it's called the Marfa system for kids that are under 3 years old. And then they have I think it's a Smurf system for kids that are 3 to 8 years old. And then by the time they're after 8, they can actually use a child's gas mask. But the Israelis have planned for this because they're sitting in a very dangerous neighborhood. So
how much does a custom gas mask for a 1 year old cost?
It costs about $300. It's not that big, and it's not like and it's like a backboard where you can carry. It's like for an infant, you stick them up there. What it uses positive airflow, so it blows it into basically a bag. You cinch down the bag, and it's got a filter on it, so it's sucking in good air and blowing it out.
Have you tested it with him?
I've tested it on myself.
Okay.
That doesn't surprise me that your source for that is the Israelis. They seem like they'd be really prepared.
They are really prepared. But going back to our other thing, trying to get back to where we started this, is that your first problem is keeping people away. And 72 hours, everything's going to be great. Nobody's going to be typically fighting you for anything. Everybody's going to be kumbaya. Let's help each other get out of there. But when the help doesn't arrive, then people are going to get desperate. Panic.
Yes.
And then you've got another 2 weeks.
That will be Chris.
Right. Two to 4 weeks of panic, okay?
You might want to kill him right now, actually.
I'm going
to
panic after like 30 minutes.
And so
insane.
And so when you do that, though, you've got to have enough weapons and guns to go fight off whatever. And how much ammunition, you know, do you have a case of shotgun shells? I mean, how many people are going to, I mean, the people are always demonize the AR-15, but the AR-15 is perfect for what this is going to entail.
So do you have one of those?
Oh, I've got five of them, you know, plus other things. I mean, I'm ready. I've got
them. Are you going to carry all five of them?
No, I've got them different places. I've got some at the ranch, some here, and then I've got probably 40 different magazines and stuff like that for them.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
If a few years go by and this doesn't seem like it's going to happen, you could always just start a cult. you're totally prepared for that.
I have no desire to start a cult.
Oh, okay.
None.
All right, fair enough. I'm just trying to offer you a plan B.
Well, you're going to be in it.
Yes.
That's right.
Here's some Kool-Aid.
I'm not falling for that.
Please give him lots of Kool-Aid.
After that first 2 weeks, though, I'd say 90% of the people are going to die from disease because there's not going to be water filtration. You know, that's the most important thing. How do you get your water clean, right? And then the other thing is sanitary.
My dog will live, I'll tell you that, because she drinks the worst water ever. She'll go outside and drink it out of like just a disgusting pond or something like that. And I'm like, what do you do? Stop it. And she just drinks. She's fine.
Yeah.
why is that? We'll all die.
Yeah.
From that,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
From some amoebas or parasites or something. But
dogs are
dogs. Bad. Yeah. They live through that stuff. No problem.
You're more likely to die of that from basically a month through the rest of the time that's going on.
Really?
Of a getting a scratch, working outside, getting a scratch, no triple antibiotic ointment, no antibiotics, and then all of a sudden you die. Bob Marley died of an infected toe, you know. He was Rastafari.
Right.
You know, it's just those things that you don't think of. Everybody thinks about the people killing you, shooting you. Yeah, that will happen at, you know, the beginning. It might happen somewhere down the line, but your real chance of getting killed is you're going to be doing you're not a farm laborer. You're not a farm laborer. She's not a farm laborer. I was at one point, you know. Now, my life is not there anymore, but we don't have calloused hands. We're all used to be outside working all the time.
I got some calluses on my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, feel that right there.
It's not from working.
Feel that right there.
It's not from working.
See? It's a callus.
It probably
has
something to do with some sort of leisure activity he was involved in.
It's tennis.
Right. Thank you. He's not prepared for anything.
No, but it's those cuts of the hands that you got to really worry about or you know, something
else. Just make you got really fresh grips on your racket because otherwise you're going to cut your hands.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to it tight and just pound you over the head with
okay,
it.
Okay, okay, so give us just a short list, or maybe it's not short, of the scenarios that you feel like you need to be prepared for.
Power outage is a big one because going back to we've got so much technology that nothing can ever happen.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is events. What events?
Yeah, like I'm saying, EMP blast is probably the thing I worry most about. And the second,
my wife worries the most about that too, actually.
Yeah.
The power going out.
If the power goes out, that's when things get really basic because the gas pumps don't work. And
right.
If the gas pumps don't work,
nothing really works, right?
Nothing works. Yeah. And so if the gas pump doesn't work, then you can't pump gas. Like, so how much gas do you guys have at your house right now? That you could just what's in your car?
Yeah, I've got about 15 gallons.
Yeah, in your car, right, yeah. Exactly. So if that runs out, so what
I've
do you
got none.
Do?
People tend to freak out when there's no gas.
Because I have an electric
car.
Oh,
remember the gate?
Remember when that there's that temporary like one day shortage and everyone freaked out?
Yeah.
The fake gas shortage.
And that just shows you right there, people are filling up trash cans. I mean, a trash can in the back of a pickup truck, they're just filling 55 gallons.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how that was one day. Can you imagine a sustained blackout for a week?
I cannot.
Two, three, 4 weeks?
Okay, so what else? Let's keep going on.
Okay, so then the other thing is, you know, social collapse from the economy collapsing. That's another one, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you have another, you know, stock market tank, something happens, social unrest.
Stockbrokers start jumping out of windows, right?
Whatever, you know, rush on the banks. You know, you just have another economic collapse of something of that nature. And then the other thing is you end up in some kind of government dispute where the people are fighting and the whole government breaks down and your ability to get goods in and out are challenging.
So what about like nuclear?
Well, that goes back into an EMP. Okay. Like or a nuclear power. Like if that happens, yeah, I mean we've got a plan for that right now. Like, do you know, like, so what really got me into that prepping is that.
Well, you had a plan until she put the nicks on the bunker.
Yes, but.
Then he bought a ranch.
Well, here's the thing, though, is if you got a text message right now, like, you know, you have to have a plan for everything before it happens, right?
Because
you
Russia has a missile headed towards Dallas.
Right, which is, so what would you do? Like, what are you guys doing right now? Like, how's, do you even know what to do if a nuclear bomb hits you?
A lot of times, nope. My thing is.
Go to the garage.
On that, I don't know that we'll have fair enough warning to get out of here.
Basically, what we need to do is go down to the garage and go down to the lowest level of the garage. That's enough time for you to get to the garage.
Our plan is right now is that we've got a residential tower. You want as much concrete and brick between you and the fallout. So what happens initially is the nuclear blast comes in, boom, hits, right? You've got however much time you have to get underground. If you get underground, then your next problem is the first 24 hours because the radioactive isotopes and all the debris is coming down for 24 hours. That's your highest exposure.
And so you got your bags. Each person's got their bags.
So we got our bags.
No, they don't have their bags here, do you?
So Megan's going to go to the bottom of this office building, and she's going to shelter in place here because I don't think she's going to have enough time to get here. I'm one exit away. I potentially have the time to get back to Bo. Our nanny, who's got Bo, is grabbing food and water, and she's going to go.
So you've prepared her, too.
Yes.
You've also given your nanny some training.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. And we're going to go to we've got a residential tower that's just down the street. It's 10 stories. It's got 3 stories underground. She's going to get 3 stories underground.
When you introduced all this to your nanny, she wasn't freaked out and didn't quit.
She was just like,
she knows,
like,
that
okay.
Brandon's a little out there.
She was like, oh, okay. Like, it was kind of coming, like, she gave me one of those looks like, okay. And so then I walked her through it and kind of showed her how we're going to get in there. Because the other thing is,
do you have a pack for her?
No, but I got her a gas mask. Because I got her attack, like, chemical nuclear NBC clothing as well.
Oh, you do? What does that clothing do if there's a fallout?
It just helps shield you, because, like, think people don't realize this, but, like, when nuclear fallout gets on you, it absorbs through your skin,
right? Right.
So one of the things is, if you are outside and you get exposed to it, you need to take a shower. You can take those clothes off, leave them outside, take a shower. That will actually really help you. Yes. So that clothing has got, like, a charcoal kind of thing that absorbs that stuff and keeps it off of you, but allows it to allows you to be safe from that fallout.
If a nuclear blast happens and it blows this building down, wouldn't it blow it all that debris on top of you too, and you're stuck underneath there and can't get out?
So they did a study of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki, uh-huh, and of the people that survived from there, uh-huh, and there's a strong correlation. Like, listen, if it hits downtown and it wipes you out, this is assuming you live, right? I mean, we're close to downtown, so, but if you live through that, there's a significantly improved chance if you're underground and you stay there for 24 to 48 hours underground waiting for all that fallout to hit the ground. And then after that, about 90% of that radioactive material actually goes away.
Somehow you make it through after not getting crushed. You live, and you get out. You've got your suit on, right?
Right.
Does that protect you from that 10% or whatever after 48 hours? Really?
Protection is relative, right? It gives you a higher probability of living, like, significantly. Wow. Higher probability of living.
Do you look like one of those guys in E.T. when they're
I look like, if you've seen any of those movies, like, where you see the guys in military gear, it's all military surplus gear where they've got the hoods on and that, and you've got an AR-15 and stuff like that. We'll all look
that
like
will
that.
Be you.
That will exactly.
Including
picture
will
that.
You, will she have an AR-15?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. She, I guess I will.
And Megan, how do you feel about that?
I guess I'll have to do what I have to do.
Okay, so now we've gotten past the first 2-3 days or whatever. Okay. I mean, now what?
Yeah, so then it goes down to, okay, you're talking about sanitation, water, and just basic survival. So it's like, okay, so are we...
So now are we shifting into long-term survival? What does long-term look like?
Yeah, long-term. Yeah. So let's... So we've got a ranch.
So you make it through there. Somehow you make it out from underneath the building, right? You've got your protective gear on. You bug out. And at this point... There's a couple different scenarios. Like you said, you have the maps and everything.
You've got three different routes. You got extra gas.
Right. So if it's a nuclear deal, it's a little bit different. You're probably not going to be dealing with
much. If it's a power outage, though, there's all the roads and there's no nuclear fallout. You're dealing with a totally different issue.
You really are, because you can't take a car out of town, right?
Well,
unless you got a gas reserve like
well,
us.
The nuclear project's probably destroyed roads. Actually, I mean, you've got a whole host of other issues.
Right.
It's how far.
Let's back up for a second.
We can shelter in place, at our current house, if it's still there. If it's not there, then we've got our bug out bags and whatever else.
So how long can you shelter in your own house?
For a year, probably.
So what are the... So if you have to get out of town, all right, and you're dealing with... Okay, let's say it's an EMP deal. You've got cars all over the road that are dead, right? You can't even get out because your car's dead.
What do you do then? Here's the deal. EMPs, they've detonated what's the equivalent of an EMP, like inside of a motor vehicle, like putting off like a power of kind of like a simulating a nuclear blast going out, and it will turn off cars, but it won't fry their electronics the way you would think it would.
Really?
Yeah. So it's interesting. The government's done a lot of studies on that. Now, newer cars are more susceptible because newer cars have more electronics, right?
Yeah, a ton. But
they found that a lot of these cars, not all of them.
If you have an old car, it's basically your radio won't work, right?
Right.
Is Greg in trouble because he has a Tesla?
Oh, yeah, I'm screwed.
Probably. But let's say you survive that and you're able to get out, okay? Or you get out to where our ranch is. At that point, now we've got a well.
My question is, okay, so go get me through this. You get out, how do you get to your ranch? I guess
the car. If the car doesn't work, then we've got a lot of other issues because we're sheltering in place. So we're either in Dallas, sheltering in place at the house.
Yeah.
Or we are at the ranch.
Or if you have enough time, you bug out with the stuff and you're heading out of town, right?
So I've got survival stuff all down at the ranch and survival stuff at the house equally distributed. Right. So it doesn't matter where we are. Now, the house has got a full generator. We've got a generator that runs the entire house.
If it happens when you're at the ranch,
that's
though,
one
it's
of the
almost
things
better.
I really enjoyed.
What?
The generator he pushed to get. It's like huge. It's probably half the size of this office.
6 feet by 4 feet. Six or seven feet.
It's huge.
How much extra gas do you have for that?
No,
we have
a gas line going to it. Like a natural gas line.
Okay.
So, and then we've also got a gas generator at the
house.
Would
that possibly shut off, though, with if it's some sort of a EMP or a nuclear issue, wouldn't that shut off your gas line?
If it disrupts the gas line, yeah, potentially. Okay. And I don't know where the power – I don't know where the gas is coming from. That's the other thing. Like if the gas is like
– I'm trying to help you
300
prepare.
Miles away, I don't know.
What I'm trying to throw out is all different
all things,
scenarios.
I'm like,
yeah, I'm trying to bring up scenarios for
you're
you.
You're just furthering
so you
his
can be
prepping.
More prepared.
I'm okay with that.
All right, good.
You're feeding the monster.
Yeah.
You are.
No,
it really doesn't bother me.
I'm trying to help you.
No, I know.
Because if there are other scenarios that you haven't thought of, I'm just trying to help you prepare for those scenarios too.
But see, here's the deal. There's certain assumptions you've got to make in every scenario.
Sure.
You can go, but you know, there's a point where you go, well, listen, I can't, I mean, I'll listen.
It takes a lot of money to
I would love
do
to have
this,
a little gyro helicopter. So if that didn't work, you know, potentially that, but you can't, you can say, okay, well, you're trying to do X, Y, or Z, but we've got bikes. I guess you could ride a bike 150 miles to the ranch.
Let me ask this question.
Try that.
Yeah.
So compared to who you would consider the most prepared, hypothetically, what level of prepared do you think you are? On a scale of 1 to 10, what level of prepared do you think you are today for scenarios that you can conceive of?
Probably like a 6, maybe.
A 6.
Okay.
My follow-up question to that is, can a person get to a 10?
If you have a lot of money.
If you have a lot of money. Like a 10 is like you have your own.
Unlimited. I mean,
it all costs
money to do all this.
You're making your way to New Zealand.
Well, yeah, you've got like a nuclear silo. I mean, you've got a real deal government silo.
If you had unlimited money, basically, well, or if you had a ton of money, you're Bill Gates or something like that.
Well, then you're the president,
would you have
right?
that? You
would, I would have a
bunker.
I can answer that for you.
I would have a real bunker underneath my house. Kind of like the White House has a bunker underneath it, and then you'd have another bunker someplace else. And then you would have transportation where you'd have a helicopter, probably, or a plane.
You probably would need a move to fit that helicopter pad.
Yeah. Well,
so our lot is, and we would probably move first.
Okay.
Okay, so I've got one more. So one more point, then I actually want to move on to one more thing. So 10 has to be the U.S. president and other world leaders.
Those are the human
beings that are probably the most prepared.
Governments.
Right, because they've got the entire resources of the government.
Unless there's somebody who has thinks the way he thinks with regards to prepping, and it has unlimited funds too. That person could be.
They could be close.
Randomly, you guys remember Dr. Booth?
Yeah, of course, the eye guy.
Yeah,
the LASIK guy.
Yeah,
Dr. Booth has his own island. He's got his own island, aircraft, stuff like that. He doesn't. When he retired, he's like apparently like moved out.
Oh, he's retired.
Yeah, he did both of our eyes, by the way.
He doesn't do eyes anymore. He's super prepared. Like he talked for like the guy's a busy guy, right? Like a super busy guy. But he talked to my buddy for like an hour and a half, literally in like the room about prepping, and was telling him all the stuff he's got. He's got two or three different bunkers depending on where it gets hit around the country. He's got his own island if he needs to go to his own island. I mean, it's insane.
Wow. Okay, so I want to talk about this last phase of things, and then I've got something I want to do to wrap up our conversation. Cool. So let's just say you've gotten to your ultimate destination,
which is ideally the ranch, right?
Or if his house is destroyed. So whatever, one of those two places. Okay, I think earlier in the conversation you said that.
I think the problem with the house though is if they see your lights and everything, you're gonna
Here's the thing: is I've got a rain barrel that's outside that's collecting rain, but it's only 530 gallons. So that's a limiting factor. So the idea is, you want to get away from this population. Yes. I want to get to the ranch. So okay. That's where I'm going.
So
we're getting away from people.
So you and I are definitely getting away. We're going on that ranch.
Yes, we're going on the ranch.
Yeah, I'll meet you out there.
You know you're on the murder list. And
I'll bring Toph's head with me.
There you go.
That's just going to add to your weight. You got to keep your pack light.
It's worth it.
He's got his pillow, though.
I'll be all right. Yeah.
He'll be inside the pillow. Okay, so you've reached your destination.
Okay.
What does long-term look like? Because, let me qualify it. Because my opinion, and I admit I'm a little more enlightened, so I think I've adjusted my opinion, but one of these giant major events happen, to me this is binary. Either you're totally prepared and you can sustain yourself into the next whatever, or you're not. And I just assume that, you know, the nuclear bomb land in my lap. I don't want to survive. I don't want to live in a post-apocalyptic world.
Right.
You have a different opinion, obviously. So you get to your destination. Now you're looking long-term. You're taking a deep breath. So what does it look like for the next 2 years, 5 years, 20 years in this new existence?
So at the
why do you prefer that rather than just be the victim of the event?
Because I believe that in human evolution, even when societies collapse or whatever, right, that eventually people figure out a way to make it right and come back, and you can get some semblance of a life that you had before. So once you get down to the ranch, the great thing about that is that I had what's called a simple pump installed. A simple pump is one of the deepest hand pumping wells. It can go up to 325 feet.
Oh.
Okay, our well is 175 feet, so half that, and it can pump 5 gallons a minute. And then our recharge rate is about 0.33 a minute, which means for every 3 minutes we're getting 1 gallon back into it. So we've got, assuming our aquifer stays good, unlimited water. Groundwater, and we're pumping it out. And I'm actually in the process of building a solar shower. Okay, we've got a septic system. So now we've got unlimited water. We've got a septic system. We've got a year's worth of food down there. Okay. And then in addition to that, I've got traps for small game. I've got probably 5 traps for small game, 5 traps for medium game. And I've stocked all my ponds, and we've got 3 of them, some with catfish, some with bluegill. And then I've got traps that are passive traps, something where I don't have to be there. Mm. So I've got traps for small game, medium game, large game, and then I've got traps for the fish out there. And then I've got rifles, and then we've got bows and arrows, and we've got crossbows. So we've got all these tools to help us survive. And in addition to that, I've got
crossbows.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I've got seeds, too, to plant stuff.
Okay.
Do people hunt with crossbows?
Yeah, I just shot a deer with a crossbow.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it kill it or did it run away?
Oh no, it kills it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Me.
So
it'll tear you up.
Let's not talk about killing. Oh.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Let's get this out there too. We've got a big hunter, right?
Yeah.
And then someone who just loves animals,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Megan, I'm actually gonna circle back around to you in just a minute.
Okay.
What is your expectation, or what are you speculating is the amount of time before you can kind of come out of doomsday mode and your things are kind of back to normal?
The problem is if you get like a EMP that fries the electrical grids and really transformers, and there's these things that are really made, and I think they're made in China now, but the U.S. doesn't even have nearly enough of them. So if those big things that you see in those substations go down, they've got a handful around the nation, but that could take a year, 2 years to actually get enough of those back up to get the entire grid back together. So I think that, you know, probably 6 months you'll see a huge difference. A year. Here's the other thing: is disease. I mean, like you get a pandemic or something like that, you just want to stay away from people. I mean, I'm thinking.
Just remember what happened to Ebola. Everyone freaked out.
Yeah, 6 months. Yeah. 6 months to 2 years, somewhere in there.
That's all you think it's going to take.
To get some kind of semblance, because if it's not a world event, you got people you got other countries coming to help you.
So here's what I've learned in our conversation. So the first thing is you have to know what you're going to do in the first 10, 15, 20 minutes.
That's essential for your survival. Right? You got to have a plan before it goes bad.
Then you have to kind of survive 24, 48, 72 hours.
Right.
And in that time period, you got to get to your ultimate destination. Then you've got to get through at least the first year. And then you've got another couple of years, maybe more, before things start to come back to what people would consider normal.
Let me put it this way.
Because that's a much shorter time frame, because I'm thinking, how do we survive for 20 years until, you know, things return to normal?
If things don't get back to normal based on where we are, I mean, we've got seeds and stuff for a garden, and we've got water.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're starting to plant your own food.
Yeah, you're planting your own food. Yeah, that first year of survival food only gives you enough to start planting crops.
Right.
And you've got to, and that's the other thing. I'm not a very good farmer. I'm going to tell you that right now. Like I haven't grown much other than the tobacco on our farm, you know? So the idea that I'm going to go out there and be like a master gardener, and like I'll be able to go kill stuff, trap it and stuff like that. I'm very confident in that ability, but like my ability
to grow. She can be your gardener.
That's what I was thinking. It's probably where I need to step up, huh?
That's
really good. She can be the gardener.
Producing
hunter,
more children,
the hunter, the
refill
gardener.
The population.
But yeah. but I'm just saying. Well, I'm hearing you say that you're starting to feel comfortable after a couple of years. What if it's 5 years or 10 years or 20 years?
Well, I mean, at that point, you'll.
That's the reason I would say I just want to die in the event. I don't want to have to deal.
No, because we've got antibiotics. I mean, we've got tons of antibiotics. I mean, we've got the ability to, I think, keep ourselves
healthy.
How do
you get antibiotics like that?
Fish antibiotics, same thing. So
fish antibiotics.
So the stuff that goes to our cattle, to our chickens, to our fish, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, what they put it into tanks is the same exact capsule. So amoxicillin isn't mixed with other drugs, or what is it, Ceflax or Cephalo, whatever. Cipro. Remember that for the anthrax stuff? Cipro is one chemical. Like you can go down the line and go get all those antibiotics, and they're meant to be dumped into like a fish tank, and you can go buy them from a fish supply store online, and it's literally, you pull the pill out, it is exactly
really?
The same pill.
Huh.
Okay.
Didn't realize that.
So one more question before I come back.
You're teaching me a lot today.
We promised that, didn't we, at the top of the show? So before I turn back to Megan, I just have one more question. Do you have a total for what you've spent up to this point on preparedness?
Now, see, here's where, in my opinion, okay, the listener is going to be hearing you and thinking, they originally thought all this stuff was crazy stuff, but they hear you, that doesn't sound crazy, right?
Right.
Doesn't sound crazy at all.
I agree.
Now, when we get to the money, if you actually tell us, they might go back to that crazy. That's just my guess.
But I have a follow-up question, so just answer that initial question, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I'd say...
And this is just a guess too, because you haven't, like, you don't have
Are you counting the ranches?
I've got a prepping category. I'm trying to think of like over the years, like right. like how much that's been.
Yeah, what's just a ballpark number that you said?
Is the ranch? Would you consider that? Yeah, that's a good question.
I would because that's his ultimate destination.
Yeah,
but you also use it for going out and hunting and stuff like that too, right?
It's true. If you take out the ranch, I mean, it's probably $500,000 if you take in the ranch, and probably $250,000-$300,000 if you take it. I don't know. $500,000-$600,000 I mean, it's a substantial investment.
My follow-up question to that is, someone's listening to this program, and they're saying, "Okay, you've piqued my interest. I need to maybe get on this. I need to join this. Where do you start? And then, what if you don't have the monetary resources that you have? Can you do this on a budget? Or if you don't have a lot of money, you're just out. You need to give up on this idea."
No, I mean, the easiest simple things to do is, first off, you need water and a water filtration system. Those aren't very expensive, so
they aren't.
So you can be prepared on a budget, is basically what I'm saying.
The things that you would need initially is just a small water filtration system.
I'm willing to bet at 24 years old, you were doing it on a budget.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So I got the great water point. Filtration system. You get like one bucket, like they Wise or Mountain House sells a 72-hour survival kit. You get like that, which is like $150. I mean, it's not much. And then the other thing you need is you need some kind of gun. You need some kind of like protection on you. So whether it be a handgun, a shotgun, or I wouldn't say a hunting rifle initially. I'd say do some other kind of rifle, uh-huh. some automatic rifle.
So you think that they could be prepared enough that it's worth their effort to try, even if they don't have a lot of resources?
I think for $1,000, if you don't have a lot of resources, $1,000 will make you prepared for 72 hours. That's including buying a brand new gun. Brand new gun. I mean, you could probably do it for $600, you know.
Okay. So that answered my question. You can be prepared on a budget.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good news.
I mean, my first weapons were with the U.S. military. They bred Beretta 92 FS Combat, which is the first gun I bought. Second was an AR-15 because it's the military. So anything that's good enough for the military has been tried and true and tested. This was good enough for me.
Your first gift to me was a gun. How much was that?
Like $500.
Wait a second. Your first gift to her was a gun?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, I know, right? I should have taken that as a hint. Right.
That's you're saying you didn't know until you were married. That was it. He's like,
I don't know. Like, you can take that different directions. Is that prepping technically? That's an excellent transition.
It's an excellent transition. Here's where I want to go with this. We have plans to hopefully do an episode on Do Opposites Attract? And we're going to have a couple couples come in and we're going to discuss that. You guys seem like you might be examples.
Yes.
Like, you're on the same page regarding certain basic things. Mm-hmm. However, in this discussion, you are on the opposite end. You're not a hunter. You're not really into being prepared. All the activities that this involves, that's not your thing at all. You're not into guns. So what I'm sure the listener is curious. What does this look like for you?
Okay. So let's back up a little. Like, I'm not totally against prepping. Like,
right.
I appreciate it. To some degree, it's just when you get to a certain point, you're spending so much amount of dollars. I just think I'd rather spend it on other things.
Right.
But I can appreciate it. Like, when I was little, I had this fear of, I don't know why. I think it was because someone's house burnt down in the neighborhood. I had a fear that our house would burn down. And I started packing a suitcase under my parents' bed with all of my essentials, like, and all the cash I would get from Christmas, everything under the bed. So, like, I have a little bit of
I was gonna say, sounds like prepper.
I have a little bit of that prepperness in me because, you know, I was putting it right next to the fire escape ladder because I was like, Mom, Dad, you need to grab my suitcase, my bag, if there's a fire.
And I know you well enough that you're a detailed, organized, prepared person.
So, like,
you're a responsible person.
So I can appreciate being prepared.
Right.
When I was measuring her face for a gas mask, that's when she lost it on me.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like,
she was like, why are you measuring
and
my
measuring
face on her
my chest
like,
to make sure? Because, like, for like women, is a little bit different, you know, because you got breasts to deal with. Like, for
I've heard of those.
So yes, yeah. So, it's a little bit different measurements for
the body armor.
The body armor. Yeah. So, sure. Like, when he was measuring me for that, I was like, okay. This is a little crazy. Like, can I not just wear any body armor?
I just want you to be comfortable.
It's really not that comfortable, though.
Really? Yeah.
Body armor's pretty heavy.
It's got to be more comfortable than getting
shot.
This is true. But
it's a lot more comfortable than a bullet.
I mean, I appreciate preparedness, but, like, I think he takes it to the next level. So I'm just like,
but you know what's the craziest? I don't feel like I'm that prepared.
He enjoys like, it. Really it's his
he's
hobby.
He's a 6 on a 1 to 10.
Right.
Look, I don't. If
what
that's
would you consider
thing,
him on a 1 to 10 on your scale?
That's a good question. I would like say at least an 8.
An 11,
8,
okay. And at least an 8.
Go to 11.
Yeah. Well, just, I say an 8 because I know like of what he's thinking about next. Like I know what he could do if he wanted. If he to consider himself a 10, I know what he would do.
Like the big thing is,
and that would be like a bunker and all that stuff. So
that's
I would
right.
say
the
we're
thing
right
that's
up
like
there.
If I ever get like a ton of money, we're gonna have a bunker on the
so
ranch.
If you had a bunker, where does that raise you on your level?
I think that probably takes me to like an 8. Because
I was gonna say a point higher, maybe 9.
Notches. 2 notches? Yeah. Yeah, no, and it's not 9 because
you have
it's,
to have that unlimited supply of money to get to a 10. I feel
no,
like.
because then at that point you can go. And by the way, a bunker's not foolproof. All you gotta do is cover the vents, and you die in a bunker, like just from your own breath,
that's
right?
True.
So just because you're in a bunker doesn't mean you're gonna survive. But if you're in a bunker and something, some kind of event happens, like an asteroid hits the Earth, and like you going back to your, that's when I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to be, you know, if the world's on fire and then all of a sudden you pop out from this bunker and
right.
there's nothing left, right. you know, it's like, right. oh God, like what kind of world is that? But if there is some kind of
okay.
blast, you know, nuclear blast, and you need to be good to be underground for 4 months or something like that, then I want to have that ability.
Okay. So there's some opportunity costs here because the resources you're spending on preparedness
aren't going into like stuff that's making you money. It's just a money pit.
Well, what I was going to say is yeah. other people prepare in a more conventional way, like for college or for retirement, or you know. So
yes,
that's all still happening.
We're
that's
still
a very
doing
good
that.
Point. That's a different way of prepping.
And
you're prepping for something else.
Well, and I think most people that would consider
a likely
right,
event.
A likely
right.
event. You're so, prepping for something that may or may not be. We don't know, right? We don't know what the percentage is of something
right.
happening. But you're prepping for something that maybe not as expected as some other people.
And going back to my first day when I started this, I don't want any of this to happen. Like
right.
I enjoy a very comfortable life.
Right.
I like the fact I go to the
like
gas station.
You want your son to go to college.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're
yeah.
prepping
and
for that.
I have no desire to have him grow up in some world where everyone's struggling and we're having to kill people to keep our little resources. I mean, you can go do that right now in like Somalia. I mean, right. you don't have to go to apocalyptic world. Just go to some third world country and you can go live that life right now. And that. You're not signing me up for that.
Right.
Well, I have to admit, in this conversation, you've brought us a little closer to your side of the conversation. It's much closer to the center than I expect.
Exactly. That's the reason why when she says, oh, well, Brandon's a prepper, and the
right.
such a like, negative conversation, I'm like, ah. Like, my friends all laugh about it, you know, and I've got a buddy who's kind of a prepper, too, but, you know.
You know who that buddy is? The person he owns the rant with.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
exactly right.
That makes so much sense. Okay, we're almost out of time, but what I did in preparation for our time together.
Oh, you prepped?
I did.
That's great.
That's the other thing yeah. we've learned today is I think there's a little bit of prepper in all of
yeah.
us. I'm
right.
similar over there. No, what I did in preparation for our time together is I reached out on Facebook to our listeners and just wanted to know if they had any questions for a doomsday prepper. Would you like to answer some listener questions?
I'd love to.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I was hoping you'd say that because otherwise it would be super awkward.
Yeah, if you said no,
I'd be like,
end of the show.
No.
No. I would not yeah. like to answer your questions after getting questioned for an hour.
Yes, now that I've been interrogated, I'm answering no more questions.
No more.
I wouldn't blame you for that. That's why I asked, and I just didn't say. Okay, let's start here. Okay.
What if he said, I'm not prepared for that?
I'm down to level 1. I mean,
yeah.
if I can't even answer questions, right. how am I supposed to survive?
That would be the irony of all ironies, and we would just have to stop the show, just abruptly stop the show. Okay, the first question comes from Phil from My Thing Can Beat Your Thing. That's another podcast. Okay, he's not taking this very seriously, but I'm going to ask the question anyways.
Okay.
How does a doomsday pepper compare to a habanero pepper?
I don't even know how to answer that question.
I think it's prepper, not pepper. I think you've misunderstood. Oh, Paul Shomo.
Oh, Paul.
Who thinks
welcome.
Greg is a national treasure.
All right.
He's from Varmints.
Thanks,
Paul. I don't care so much about the food and water thing. I'd like to know what they've done to prepare for the stuff that actually kills people in a survival situation, hypothermia, lack of sanitation. Also, how do they plan on combating boredom and other things that might weaken your mental state if when they do have to adjust their lifestyle in a doomsday situation, realistically, how long do they see themselves surviving with a relative amount of comfort before the crap really starts hitting the fan?
Actually, you know, that goes back to that's sanitation. Yeah, it's like how much toilet paper do you have? That's a very serious question.
Because it is.
It's not fun out there with leaves, you know. We've got, I'd say, a
leaves
good
are probably better
six,
than a hand. Then,
yeah, well,
some people use their hand.
I know, right?
So he's asking a question about sanitation and entertainment,
right? Which actually is all things I thought about. So that we've got enough toilet paper, and then the ranch has got a septic system, so they will flush. So going back to our scenario, long term survival, our objective is to get to the ranch. We get there, okay?
Right.
So we're assuming
right,
we get there, okay?
Yeah.
Then we've got a septic system. We've got water to fill the toilets. You know, hand fill them ourselves, and then that way they will all flush. So we're not dealing with septic flowing back up into it. And we can also got a ability to go out in the woods. We've got like a little seat that you can put out there if those toilets stop working. So
you've got a second toilet. You're prepped for a second.
I'm like,
toilet.
So we can go out in the woods. We yeah, exactly. We've got an outhouse and stuff like that. And then that's sanitation. Number two is
I go outside and I go to the bathroom with my dog every night when I let her out. Now, I don't go. Number two.
That'd be kind of weird. Like, right. You know, the guy goes to the bathroom number two and is with his dog
and
in the backyard.
She's taking a dump and I'm, no.
Like the mad pooper?
But yeah.
He's
the
mad pooper in his neighborhood.
And then the water, though, we've got what's called a lifesaver. We've got two of those, and there's jerry cans. And then we've also got the ability to boil water because that will sanitize it. And then we've also our water coming out from the well is drinkable just out of the well. So we've got multiple ways to sanitize water if it gets contaminated, and we've got a well. Okay. And then also we've got board games down there. I've got books, literally just books that I bought. I've never read them, but don't intend to ever read them unless we ever this.
So you're
and
prepping
cards.
For books. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I've got books
and, you have
and
cars.
And also here's the other thing is I've got books on the solar system, like trapping, like medical stuff, you know. So, I mean, I've got a lot of library of books at the house in Dallas, and books there on skill sets that you would need to survive.
You're kind of overlapping, keeping people entertained, but also educated and bringing your family along. Okay, let's move on. So Shane Lockwood, host of Easy Like a Sunday Morn podcast, he has this question: do they still deal with money, and if not, what alternatives are they using or planning on using?
So actually, liquor. We've got a bunch of liquor down there that's not for drinking, just for bartering.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, for bartering.
So you're prepared for bartering.
You're really? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, vodka, whiskey, stuff like that that's just sitting, you know, it's just under a bed. It's not meant to be drank.
Do you have any gold bars or anything like that?
We've got silver.
Okay.
Silver coins are worth like $40, you know, like an actual silver piece. Uh-huh. Those are actually like, here's a $40 silver piece. At some point, it'll be worth something, you know.
What about gold bullion?
I'm not a pirate.
But it's worth something, right?
You know what the misconception is about what you're asking? Is that in a situation like we've been discussing, resources becomes far more valuable than currency.
Right. This is the reason why I chose liquor.
Like immediately you move to a barter society, and anything we have been using for currency just goes away.
Yeah, but if someone had gold bullion, I'd
give them because
stuff.
You can't do anything with it.
You can't do anything with it.
You have to be able to convert it to something that can help sustain you.
I feel like liquor most people like, you know, and it's good times people drink, bad times are drinking even harder. So that was the reason why I went with that.
Next question comes from Adam Saunders, who's actually my co-host on This Week Today.
Lord Saunders.
Yeah, that's right. Who actually came up with the idea of how you respond to someone when they cough.
That was his idea. Right.
Thank you, Adam, for that. Yeah. His question, I thought he had asked a good question. So if you were just going to guess, this is pure speculation on your part, of all the scenarios we talked about, what's the most likely cause of doom out there?
Oh, that's a good question. Adam's a bright man. So
pandemic.
Disease,
like just some kind of just like influenza. That's number one.
All right.
And number two is just a power outage of some sort.
Got it. Okay. So this next question came from Laura Thompson, but others asked a similar question. But what kind of relationship stress? We talked a little bit about it. I mean, maybe it's money related, or maybe it's just
I mean, to,
because
to,
you two are so different yeah. on that
Because you're
plane.
So dedicated to it, and she's not necessarily.
Yeah, like when you were just talking, when you're like, oh, Greg says he's just convinced me to get 500, honey.
No,
and
no,
like,
no.
you guys
you,
were looking
you
at each other.
Your face and you're like,
you guys were looking at each other, and you were looking for approval, and she was.
The biggest thing that we had, the most, it was a bunker, obviously, when we were trying to build the house, and we were like trying to figure out the full monetary thing. That was the thing that we were like, that she just kind of put her foot down and said no. But for the most part, she allows me to.
I think she does, yeah.
She allows me to kind of be me, and which is great. And that's, we don't have a whole lot of fights about it. But like when I was measuring her face during her iPad time and her downtime, and she's
I like my downtime.
Why are you measuring my face, or why are you measuring my boobs for this? Like, that's when she kind of gets a little annoyed. Like, you're interrupting my time.
And to be fair, I really don't like being interrupted during iPad time.
No,
regardless of what it is, if it's measuring me for something.
What
or,
are you doing on your iPad typically?
Checking Yahoo, going to Board Panda, going to the Chive, seeing what's on the news. Okay.
Really just me time.
Really?
Just basic
it's just
me time.
Just seeing what's on the news.
She's been pretty good about that, I would say. She lets me kind of do what I do.
So Sarah Stapleton, who played Karen on the Karen and Ellen Letters, had this question, and we've kind of just touched on it, but she has a nuance to it. So how do you settle, and I think you've answered this, how do you settle disagreements about this whole thing? It sounds like you've done a great job of accommodating him. You kind of defer to Brandon on stuff.
Yeah, you kind of let him
I kind of just
thing.
Let him do his thing. It's
well, the other thing,
thing
is I let her, I try to explain as best I can why we need this or why we're doing this and what this maybe item or this plan or why we need to talk about this, what this will do, and especially now that we have a child, how that will relate to us. And I think if you have an open communication with your partner, that they understand the benefit of what you're providing, and maybe they don't fully believe that it will ever happen, but at least they respect it.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a concept in that I think is really helpful in relationships in other situations, and that is you're leading out with the why.
Right.
If you lead out with the why rather than saying we need to do this and just try to drag her along, but if you lead out with the why first, that there's a greater chance she's going to come along with what you're doing.
And if something happens to me, I want her to understand how she can survive without me. So this isn't just a one person over here, and you know you need to do it with me.
Right.
Yeah, this is about us being together for the rest of our lives.
So our next question comes from Brandon Cruz. He is the host of the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast over at Apathetic Enthusiasm, which I think is a funny name. He wanted to know if you saw and liked the movie Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, I saw
it. The one where they go underground and they think the guy's crazy,
hostage.
But he's really not.
He turns out not to be crazy, you know, at the end of it. I mean, he's crazy, but he's not.
It's like a...
Whoa, spoiler alert.
Oh, well, who cares? I mean, if you,
I'm kidding.
If you're listening to my Doomsday thing, you're probably like clearly up to date on Cloverfield.
Exactly.
Fair point. Sarah Stapleton wants to know zombies. Have you prepared?
I'm not worried about zombies.
Is there any real life version of zombies that could occur?
No, and
that's really just for Hollywood.
And by the way, if there ever was the gun that's going to kill the gun that kills you and I or the other person out there is probably going to kill the zombies too.
Yeah. Now, the only thing about the zombie thing I think could be somewhat true is not necessarily zombies, but like some sort of epidemic, like you said, that turns people kind of, I don't know.
That's the real life zombie. You're right. The craziness people turn, like how the desperation turns to almost zombie like behavior. Like I need
like
to attack you for a can of beans. Like I'm going to kill you.
Okay, so there is a real life version of zombie that could occur.
Yeah, it's not like what people see in the movies, but yeah.
Megan Sarah also has a question for you. Do you ever worry that you're going to roll your eyes so much that they get stuck back in the back of your head?
I would say so. Yeah. I try to do it when he's not looking.
Sarah Stapleton's a very funny woman. Okay, let's see what else we got. Kelsey Jane suggested that she has a lot of bottle caps, so maybe she could use that for currency. Kelsey, I don't know if bottle caps are going to have a lot of value, but...
Well, the game Fallout, they do.
Okay.
There you go. That's why she said that, huh?
That's exactly right. In that video game, that's the currency.
Kelsey hits on something that I asked a little while ago, which was the opportunity cost. What would you want to spend the money on instead that you're spending on prepping? You mentioned a pool. Is there anything else you would spend your prepper money on?
Oh, yeah. I mean... Honestly, I haven't even fantasized about it because I can't.
It's not an option.
I'm thinking like there's this Chanel purse that I've had an eye on for like years, Yeah. But I mean, I just can't justify it.
So I mean,
it's material things, clear.
Sure.
For me.
So I have a follow-up question to that, which is, she's deferred to you a lot, like really let you run with this. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you're doing kind of in trade?
Can the Chanel purse be one of her bags that she has prepped stuff into?
Is it bulletproof?
That's right.
Like I don't know if I want to get purse, dirty. That's yeah. the thing.
But, like, but it, you hold it up.
Can't shoot me in the head. I got a Chanel purse in front of me.
Those things are going to go like hotcakes if we discover that they're bulletproof. Yeah. Once again, I think we've entertained, informed, and educated the listener.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely.
Brandon, Megan, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me.
Megan, was this as painful as your first experience on the podcast?
No, definitely not.
Okay, good.
You're a little more comfortable on this one.
This is true.
Brandon, I'm assuming you've never appeared on a podcast before?
This is my first podcast in my life, yes. It was fun, though. It was good.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much for sharing your insight and for coming by on the show.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, until next time, you've been listening to Gravity Beard. See you next time, folks.
Thanks, folks.
All right, bye.
Bye.
You can listen to Gravity Beard on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or anywhere else you consume podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at TheGravityBeard. Email us at contactthebeard@gmail.com or interact with us and other indie pods in the Underdog Podcast community on Facebook. We definitely want to hear from you. If you got at least a dollar's worth of entertainment from today's episode, please consider supporting us via Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/gravitybeard for more details. Gravity Beard is a proud member of the Podfix Network. Go to podfixnetwork.com to see a complete list of network shows. You may also consider subscribing to Podfix Presents. It's a podcast by all the Podfix hosts where you can hear exclusive original content that you'll not hear on their individual shows. Our theme song is Sophomore Makeout by Silent Partner. You can find them on the YouTube audio library. All the other music credits can be found in the show notes. Until next time, this is Gravity Beard. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
This is the Gravity Beard Crab Pass.
The people that are going to rob you first are going to be your neighbors, so now I'm going to kill these people.
So they just went to the top of Brandon's murder list.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @Podfix on Twitter, @official_Podfix on Instagram, @Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.
What about you, Greg? Are you done podcasting? You like to usually podcast.
I told you this, Chris. I'm never done podcasting. I don't know why I have to tell you again.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you are a national treasure, so.
Well, I'm not. I'm really not.